Hey, I got a cool new Bible. Look how big the print is. If the pages on the wall don't work, I can just hold this up and you guys can see it. Bob Hilbert got this for me, and it's a Bible for veterans, and he's sharing one with me. And so I don't have to stop and pick up pages off the floor from my old Bible that's falling apart. This is one of those Sundays. Been an emotional week, very emotional week. This is one of those Sundays where pretty simple message, not sure what all I'm going to say, but definitely know that I have the right thing. So we'll see what the Lord enables me to say. I want to always bring us back to the two greatest commandments. This is a relationship. It's a relationship. Christianity isn't about church. Churches haven't done so well with this. I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm into reality and want to always be honest and open. We've taken what Jesus tried to tell us and we've put our own twist to it, and I don't know that we've always done so well. I told the worship team this morning in here, and a better title would be my dear, dear, precious friends that we sing and play music with. Don't really like the line, worship team. Told them this morning, I said, let us not forget that this building could burn down and this property be destroyed and the Secretary of State could dissolve our organization and we could meet on one of our lawns and feel everything that we're feeling right now. Because this is a relationship. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. And the saddest words in the Bible are, Adam, where art thou? Adam, where are you? I showed up for our talk. Where are you? And Adam and Eve had made a choice to go another direction. God did a risky thing when he gave us the power of choice. But I don't want a wife that has to love me. I don't want Pam to have a little program computer brain that she has to love me. No, not interested in that. I want her to choose to love me. This is a relationship. Hear, O Israel, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Put everything into it, gang. Give it all you got, it's worth it. Put all your eggs in that basket. I've seen the end of this story. I've had probably 250 funerals in the last 35, 40 years because I started having funerals before I ever started full-time pastoring. I had my first funeral at 22, and I'm 62. I've seen the end of this thing. No U-Haul trailers behind a hearse. You invest in the kingdom of heaven. Going to heaven can be the joyous, most joyous time of your life. Man, I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Had mixed feelings. Say this with deep gratitude for God's touch. Say this with deep appreciation for my home and family. But I had mixed feelings when I left room 6814 at St. Vincent's Hospital and Pam brought me home. There was a side of me wanted to stay in that room because of the closeness of God I felt. There was no steeple on that room. That wasn't a church. Churches are a wonderful thing. Helps us along. It's a supplement to your walk with God, your own walk with God. God calls us to love him and put him first. And then he calls us, the second commandment is likened to it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. And that makes the two arms of the cross, this relationship and this relationship. So first we come and we ask God to forgive our sins. And because Jesus paid the price for us that we've been singing about, and he's conquered death, hell, and the grave, we find forgiveness and this relationship is clear. And then he immediately begins working on this relationship. Oh, I hadn't walked with God for 2 or 3 days, and God began speaking to me about the bitterness I had toward my father. Because he wants to straighten out this relationship. The main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. Let us always keep it simple and remind ourselves often and each other that it's a relationship. Monday morning, this last week, got up about 4:15, I believe it was. I love the mornings. Now, you can talk to God whenever you want to. You got to work that out. I like the mornings. And there's a little scriptural backing for that. David said, "Early will I seek thee." So there's a little scriptural backing for that. Your mind may be clear another time. I don't know. That's your call. But I got up about 4:15 Monday morning, and my time with God, and I had a heaviness. I had a heaviness. Oh, a heaviness. I mean a heaviness that was almost unbearable. The kind of heaviness you get when someone comes and tells you that a loved one was taken in an accident, or and you're just smitten in the heart. I had a heaviness. And I sensed that God was wanting to say something to me. Real uncomfortable with that heaviness. I contacted by text a few prayer warriors. Told them that I had a heaviness that was almost unbearable. That was not exaggeration. I won't play with words on those kind of things. We might get caught in a story and exaggerate a little bit sometimes, and we don't mean to, but when it comes to that heavy stuff, I won't exaggerate in any way, shape, or form. It's very sacred when you ask someone to pray, and we never want to have that motive tainted in any way. That morning, I went for a walk. I thought, Lord, I got to get to the bottom of this. And if I have to cancel everything on my schedule Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, it doesn't matter. I got to figure out why I got this heaviness. Did you know that it's okay to be uncomfortable, Americans? Did you know that? Did you know that sometimes God allows us to be uncomfortable because he wants to say something to us? Hebrews 12, 5 through 7 says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Sometimes the Lord will chasten you a little bit or correct you, or I want to hear that. That's not very popular in American culture. We're all about comfort. And my goodness, forbid that we should have the slightest headache and give me 5 ibuprofens immediately. Now, it's nice to have some relief when you have stuff you have to do and places you have to go. And I'm glad we have some medications that can help us with that, because sometimes you have to be places and that can help that. But I do think we've become a generation so worried about being comfortable. I think God sometimes has trouble speaking to us. Because the minute he tries to call us and make us uncomfortable, we drown it or smother it or numb it. When I get migraines, and sometimes they're bad enough, you just gotta do something. But I can't take migraine medicine. Some people say, why don't you get some migraine medicine? I can't take migraine medicine, because if you've had chemotherapy, they say do not take migraine medicine, because migraine medicine expands the veins. And studies have shown that chemotherapy is not good for veins, and you can have a stroke with migraine medicine. You have to be careful. And haven't had a real severe one for a long time. Have had ones that put me on a commission. Severe, I mean, where you're just so sick to your stomach and head pounding that you just can't take it hardly. I haven't had one of those for a long time, but I have had some that incapacitated me, and I had to cancel that day. I want to be open to when God wants to say something to me. You get it? So in our comfortable age, I think sometimes, don't run out of here and say that pastor says you shouldn't take an aspirin. No, don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. Take 3 or 4 if you need to. I'm just saying don't have a mentality that isn't open to God correcting you. And when you get a heaviness of spirit instead of, oh God, give me relief, give me relief, give me relief. I got to have something to give me relief. Lord, why do I have this? Is there something you're trying to correct me on? And so I took to walking Monday and thought, I'm going to walk all day. Monday's usually a day off. It doesn't always work out that way, and it's fine if it doesn't. It's not about my schedule. It's about what God wants me to do that day. Lord, what would you say to me today That heaviness continued throughout the morning, and a number of people were praying as I asked that I would realize maybe what God was saying to me. Late Monday and early Tuesday, I felt God spoke to me very, very strongly. And I want to read from Revelation 2, 1 through 5. We'll jump there for a minute, and then I'll come back to the heaviness. Revelation 2, because I think this is good for all of us, and I think it's a good summer message for us. When summer, there's a lot going on and a lot of demands, and things will pull us a lot of directions. We're talking about the relationship. Let's go back to what we're talking about here before I read the verses. We're going back to the relationship and keeping God where he needs to be. God is very strict with me on that as a pastor, and I want him to be. I want him to be. He's trusting me with you. Being a pastor isn't being a big shot. Being a head of an organization, even that has work overseas like we're blessed to have, that's not a big shot. It's God has called you to serve others, and God looks down and says, that portion of my flock in Miami County, I'm going to put under Tom, Vince, Guy, Michael's care. That's an honor that God would look down and see part of his flock and say, I'm asking you to look after it. View it that way. That's how pastoring is to be viewed. We're not big shots that got a big important name that we wear on our lapel and everybody has to tip their hat to us. Oh, I believe when you walk with the Lord, that brings respect. I believe that does. But God is trusting me, and that's how I view it. He's trusting me with a flock. Oh, I've stood in awe recently, in recent weeks, and I've said, Lord, you're trusting me with some of the most broken people in Miami County. As you continually let us open the rescue resort and we expand and go different directions. And I hope in a future time to have a James House and the vision is there that God gave in Colorado. We can just do one thing at a time. To trust me with some of the most broken. Lord, I am appreciative of that. Correct me when I need it. Keep me on track. Keep my relationship strong. God is strict with me on that. And as I sought God about the heaviness that I had, he spoke to me for Revelation chapter 2, which I've preached on in years past many, many times. Haven't preached on it recently. It says, to the angel or the minister of the church of Ephesus write. Not going to go into this, but at the opening of Revelation, there are seven letters to seven churches, and we can draw great instruction from these. To the angel or the leader or pastor or overseer of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, we haven't got time to go into that, and I'm not going to get sidetracked here. I say that reverently, but there's a time for different things, and we don't need to go into all this morning. But if you would read the chapter before this, you would find that John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And he was given the revelation of the future, much which we're seeing happening around our world today. But at the opening of the letter, which is where we are here, Jesus himself gave instruction to the ministers of each of the seven churches. And these are powerful things. Verse 2, it says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. So this is complimentary. Jesus is saying to the pastor, and I'm dealing with this heaviness on Monday, early Tuesday, and God drew me to these scriptures. I know thy works and thy labor and your patience. You don't mess around with this. You're going for it. You work hard at this. And how you can't bear them which are of evil. In other words, you're not a person that's tolerant of just anything. Oh, we're patient, we're loving, and we're compassionate, but we're to overcome, and you're calling people to do that. I see that. And you've even tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. You have borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and you've not fainted. Now, look at this. Boy, this doesn't seem like this fits. Verse 4 says, nevertheless, I've got something against you. What? He just said, I see your work and your labor and your patience and how you draw a line with sin and how you're discerning. And that word born there in verse 3 means to carry a heavy load. And again, he repeats, and you have patience. And for my name's sake, you've labored not fainted. Nevertheless, I got something against thee because you've left your first love. This is powerful. This is a constant battle, my Christian brother and sister. Don't view this as some historical letter that doesn't apply to you and I. In the American church and the pressures of our world, it's a constant battle to keep God at the top of the list. If God stays at the top of your list, if your priority is Him first, the enemy will constantly battle you with that. Because if God is first in your life, God will work mightily in your life. Does that make sense? He says to this church and this pastor, man, you've done awesome things. You've labored. You've had patience. You don't bear, you don't tolerate sinful things. You call people to change. You've carried. He says, again, you have patience. For my name's sake, you've not fainted. But I've got something against you because you have left your first love. Then he says to them, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and I'll remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, let me tie that into my part. It doesn't all apply. Some of it does. I had a heaviness on Monday and Tuesday morning. Lord, what is it that you're saying to me? And what I want to illustrate to you is how important this principle is. Now, in this particular case, there's some strong things said to this church. And I don't believe they all applied to me on Monday and Tuesday. And I'm not that they couldn't, but I don't believe they did. I felt the Lord said to me as I began to walk, and I said, Lord, if I need to walk 10 hours today, then so be it. If I need to be by the river for 10 hours, what is it that you're saying to me? And I felt like God clearly said to me, Tom, as the ministry grows, and as I bless CMO, and I'm going to, and as the Haiti ministry expands, which it is, and as they're adding more churches, sometimes without us even knowing it, and that's growing. And the verse comes to pass that's in the coffee house as you come into the sanctuary. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to your mind. But you'll rejoice in what I create. And as I create new things, and as we open the rescue resort, and as we reach out in the best that we can't fix it all, and we can't take everybody at once, but we reach out as we can. Don't get caught up in these good things of ministry and back off on your closeness with me. I would bare my soul to you and tell you anything. No secrets. No, I didn't feel like, boy, I've gone astray and we've fallen into sin. No. That's what he wasn't saying to me. But what he was saying, you can even be doing good things. Really, really good things and wane, get left to center in your closeness and intimacy. He said, your power from the Lord, your anointing has always come in your relationship. Keep it first. Keep it first. Yes, these are good things. Yes, the mentoring group's a wonderful thing. I'm so happy with the mentoring group. We have some new additions lately. And the ministry here is going well. And I love the music. I need the music in my own soul even to preach. And I feel like we're having good services. And I feel like the ministry is developing. But I felt like that heaviness was to bring me back to Tom. You're not putting the world before me. Or you're not putting this or that before me. But even in these good things, don't let up in your personal, very personal walk with me. Elijah led an awesome event where 450 prophets of Baal were killed. And God brought down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and licked up all the water in the trench around the sacrifice there in Kings. But in the next chapter, we find him going to the mountain. Don't neglect going to the mountain. It's summer. We're busy. Don't neglect going to the mountain. Don't neglect your time with God, because he doesn't want you to lose your first love. Then the song began to come to me that we sing. He is jealous for me. Remember the song? Oh, how he loves. I love this song. He is jealous for me. And as I walked, God spoke to my own heart. And this is kind of intimate and kind of close to me, but I feel like to get it across, I must share it. Tom, even in these good things, when you get too consumed with them, and in your case, they are ministry things, because that's what you do vocationally. It's not going off to a factory, or it's what you do vocationally. I am jealous. Yeah. Ain't that cool? I am jealous of your time. Did you know that there is a holy jealousy in Scripture? I'm not talking about a petty jealousy where somebody got a promotion and I didn't and I'm jealous. I'm not talking about God isn't tainted. But did you know at the giving of the Ten Commandments, he said it? I, Jehovah, am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yeah, he said it. I am a jealous God. You're not to have any gods before me. At the giving of the Ten Commandments, he stated that. Then we see Jesus in the last book of the Bible, Don, scolding a church that had patience, had discernment, had been carrying heavy loads, had been working hard because they weren't keeping him as the first love. Monday and Tuesday, I recommitted. I get it. Thank you for the heaviness. I get it. I'm so excited about the rescue resort. We just had the open house and I'm pumped. The ministry in Haiti, John's just constantly getting a hold of me and saying, Tom, this is going good. They're carrying 5 gallon, women and men are carrying 5 gallon buckets of gravel, Kevin. They put us to shame. Men and women are carrying 5 gallon buckets of gravel and spreading it and paying for it themselves so we can get the concrete poured. And we sent $2,300 over on Tuesday and said, get started. We took a step of faith. God will bring in the other 9,000, build that church. And they're building it behind there, behind the mission house. And boy, Mr. Intense here, never suspected. I get all wrapped up in that. And God gave me a heaviness because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Well, those are good things. So was this. You've had patience, you've borne, but I'm jealous for you and I want to be first. And that's right. Because when he is first, this is consistent throughout Scripture. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and he'll add everything to you. Lord just gave us a new vehicle. I'm not worried about vehicles. My truck's a 97. I love it. It's a great truck. But seek first. Keep me first. I'm jealous of you. You keep me first. And then I'll watch over and see what you need, and I'll bring the friends to church along. When you need a vehicle, I'll get it for you. Where are you on your first love? He is jealous for me. Boy, he loves like a hurricane. The guy that wrote this gets it. When I first read the words of this song, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me see here if I get this. You know, it isn't your typical amazing grace. It loves like a hurricane, you know. But I'm thinking, you know what? That's right. Sometimes in my quiet time with God, I feel like he's surrounded me like a hurricane. And I love storms. I might be a little weird. I might be real weird, actually. But I love storms because there's an awe in a storm. There's an awe in a storm, and there's an unusual presence of God. Even as a child, I used to go outside when there's tornado warnings and watch the sky because I thought it was awesome to see. He loves like a hurricane. I'm a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. That's awesome. And walking on that road on Monday, I broke into laughing. I bet my neighbors think I am a trip. And I hope they don't have spotting scopes and watch me up close, because they really think I probably already called Logansport State Hospital and said, you keep an eye on this guy. I broke into laughing. And you know, you can actually laugh in the spirit where you break. That's kind of my thing. Sometimes I'll just laugh, and I'm worried people on the platform will think I'm laughing at them. Sometimes when a child is singing, I'll get so blessed, I just start laughing. And I was laughing while I was walking, and I said, Lord, I get it. You gave me the heaviness, because even though this stuff I'm involved in, I'm not involved in all kind of junk out here. I'm involved in good things. But you still, ain't that cool? You're still jealous enough for me that you're chewing me out for doing good things. Is that in the scripture? Well, yeah, I just read that. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and you can't bear that if it's evil. You've borne and had patience, and you've not fainted. Nevertheless, I got something against you because I'm jealous of you, and you're not putting me first. You're getting caught up over here and over here. Why am I talking to you this morning? Well, confession's good, and I want to tell you, and I don't have any secrets. But I want to warn you, too, because I think you're just as susceptible. We get to Rescue Resort Open Pam Colleen here at June the 6th. The enemy, see, the devil tries to distract all the time. Stop. The enemy will do everything he can to get us all wrapped up in squabbles between girls and disagreements between staff that we're going to have, so that we're not as close as we were. Because he knows that if you go to the mountain and you put him first, that you will hear the still small voice. He knows it. Devil doesn't want anything to do with the still small voice. He doesn't want God's whisper in your ear. He does not want that. Because with that comes anointing. With that comes deliverance. With that comes chain breaking. With that comes overcoming. American church, if Jesus was here, you know what he would say to us across America this morning? He would say, you're working hard, you're making videos, you're having big services, you practice your music, but where's the secret closet and where's the closeness with you? Because I know pastors that I dearly love, and when I talk to them, I can tell they haven't spent much time with the Lord. Because when you spend time with the Lord, it shines on you. It comes out of you, and it'll be different forms in different people. We have different personalities. You got to keep your first love, and that is the thing the devil wants to steal from you. Are you with me? That's where the power is. That's where the anointing is, and he wants to steal it. Oh, he doesn't care if you do 1,000 good things. Oh, he doesn't care if you open 1,000 women's homes, as long as you don't insist that God's first. But you start talking that language, you're going to have trouble on the home front. I have someone that I'm mentoring. It sent me this. And since they printed, I thought it was safe, because then you can't figure it out. If it's handwriting, you'd try to figure it out. Interesting how God works. These notes from this person's devotional life, who this particular person, and this can be said of many in our congregation right now, and I'm proud of you for it. This person has said, make me accountable. I want God to be first. Make me accountable. Okay. When the person asked me, I said, are you serious? Yep, I'm serious. Okay. Then I might text you at 5 a.m. and say, God's up, are you? Hello? Anybody there? These notes were sent to me during those 2 days. Jehoshaphat was a good king. However, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines. Get rid of your idols. Anything I put before my God is an idol. God's got to be first. Oh, we're not going to get up here and preach on you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that. No, it's bigger than that. That's trivial, and that stirs conflicts and strifes, and that can even be tainted with opinions. What we are going to do is say, keep this relationship first and keep this one second, and then God will watch over you, and he'll take care of you and make sure you have and your provisions are all that you have is cared for, and there'll be a blessing and anointing on your life. Keep him first. Get rid of your idols. Anything I put before God is my idol. Some notes from 2 Chronicles. These are just reinforcement to what I'm saying. I felt I should share them this morning, and I won't do this without your permission. So don't be afraid to send me something. I ask permission. The people never fully committed themselves to follow God. If you don't tear down your idols, you're not fully committed to God. You wouldn't leave up, I love this, you wouldn't leave up a picture of your old boyfriend after you married your husband. Okay? You wouldn't leave up a picture. Well, if I come home, Pam had a picture of one of those cement heads she dated before me. If I came home and she had a picture of those bimbos she dated before me, I said, what in the world are you doing? You got a picture of some boy hanging on a closet door. What's the matter with you? We understand that and have fun with it. This is personal. This is personal. This is personal. It goes so deep with Jesus that he's complimenting these people all over the place and telling them how they were carrying burdens and how they had patience, Don, how they were bearing. Keep that word to bear, look that up in the Greek. It means to carry a heavy, heavy load with anguish. He's saying, you guys are working hard. You're opening the rescue resort. You got plans for a men's place. You're working in Haiti. Man, you guys are going for this thing, but don't you dare drop off of me being first, because I'm jealous for you. And anything you put before me is an idol. And you wouldn't leave up a picture of your old boyfriend after you married your husband. He is jealous for me. All right, I'm about done. I made a commitment to shorten the service a little bit too. We got people dropping out because I talked too long. Not really. But I do think we have new people coming that aren't used to the intensity of this place. And I want to be sensitive to that. And I say that reverently, but we're appropriately intense, but I want to be careful. Practical stuff here. Been talking about heavy. It's simple, but yet it's been heavy the last few minutes. It's simple, but yet it's been heavy. But I want you to kind of see this from a different direction, gang. I want you to see this from a different direction. This is about the greatest commandments. In the Old Testament, God is consistent. I am Jehovah, I change not, Old Testament. New Testament, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He opens the Ten Commandments with, I, Jehovah, am a jealous God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In the New Testament, he says, this is the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul. Tell me it isn't consistent. And then in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, he chews them out because they're working real hard, but they hadn't kept him first. It's everywhere in there. Sacrifice, Kevin. Pick the best lamb. You don't give the Lord a sick lamb, the one with a broken leg. You don't do that. You give him the best. You scan the flock. You take the best. You give God your best. And get rid of the idols. I don't know what yours are. Don't take this wrong. I don't care. I love you like you are. I don't care. Sometimes people start telling me all their dirty laundry. I say, whoa, I don't need to know that. If you want to tell me, if it'll help you, that's fine. But we ain't worried about that. Let's just get on track here and let's start putting God first. And let's start loving him really from the bottom of our heart, because he will latch into you and buy into you and he'll be jealous for you. And if you do something so simple, and I want him to guard me this close, Andre. I want him to guard me this close. If you do something so simple as just think about the rescue resort too much, he'll say, hey, don't be putting boyfriend's pictures back. Don't be putting things up that would take your attention. You're supposed to be talking with me right now. Okay, that's cool. If you stop and think about it, it's an awesome thing that the God of the universe would want to spend time with us. It says the eyes, is that not scriptural? The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ear is attentive to their prayer. Well, I suppose we should have our devotions. You know, pastor says you're supposed to. Don't approach the holiest of holies that way. He's jealous for you. Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? We always talked in the afternoon. Where did you go? Tells of the heart of God. All right, I'm almost done. God time, connecting with God. This would be good for you to take a picture of or write down or something. Vince calls it God time, so I don't call it that, but I think that's a good name. God time, connecting with God. Set a time and do it. Summer's busy, lots of demand. Set a time and do it. You know what we stumble over? The simple things. The simplest of things, that's the stuff we have trouble. Heard an older minister say one time, he said the hardest thing to get people to do is just the simple things. Set a time and do it. If you need accountability, like this person that I shared the screen with a minute ago, they said, I want to do this, but I'm afraid I can't consistently do it. Make me accountable. All right. All right, we'll make you accountable. Pick somebody to help you be accountable. Set a time and do it. Set some God time. What do I mean by God time? Time for prayer, time for meditation, time to be still and quiet, time to read some in God's word. All right, I'm going to hit this quickly because I don't want to be here too long. Set a time and do it. Number two, eliminate distractions. Shut off your phone. That button at the top, I don't know if you have an iPhone, I do. You push down on that, and you got to hold it a couple seconds, and there'll be an arrow light up across there. Go ahead and push that across there. You're going to be fine. And what Aunt Bessie put on Facebook ain't all that interesting anyhow. And Aunt Bessie should be having her quiet time instead of bothering everybody. Eliminate distractions. They're different for different people. But when I start down the road, I get my phone out of my pocket and I push the button. He's jealous for me. And somebody can say, well, now, Pastor, you're on call. What if there's an emergency? You know, I was walking one day and I had something come over me so strong it just almost moved my hand that said, check your phone. And I pulled my phone out and there was an emergency. He's on the job anyway. Go ahead and go to sleep. He's up all night anyhow. Get some rest. He's going to be up all night anyway. Go ahead, get some rest. And then get up in the morning and check and see if anybody has anything important they need to say, and it's just not very important. And then shut your phone off. Get rid of your distractions. Am I trying to be cute or hobby horse on things? No, but I think Americans are terribly distracted. It's so sad. People came, talked to their family. They're just so distracted. They're so distracted. You know, it was 100 years ago, a man went out in the field and taught the boy how to put the harness on two horses. That took some time. And hook up the horses and take a plow out to a field. And they plowed in the field together all day. Boy, we've gone lots of directions, haven't we? Connecting with God, set a time and do it. Accountability if necessary, eliminate distractions. Be consistent regardless of feelings. You're not going to go to the Mount of Transfiguration every morning. Okay? Sometimes it may even seem, I say this reverently, seem a little dry. Stay with it. Because just about the time you think, man, this has gotten dry, God will show up. I was walking past the corner where two woods come together. On my walk, I love to walk. I've walked thousands of miles in my life. Thousands. I started walking when I had a nervous breakdown and came to the Lord in my late teens, early 20s. And I've been walking ever since. And I came past a spot where the two corners of the woods come together. And I kind of like it there because often there's a breeze funneling through there. I think the way the wind comes in and the woods come to corner to corner. They've taken out part of the woods now, unfortunately. And when I walked right through that area and that breeze hit me, I felt a sense of God's presence extremely strong. And I just stopped and put my hands like this and I just bowed down and I lowered myself and I said, Lord, that wind is beautiful, but you said something to me in that wind. What is it you want to say? In the next 10 minutes, God said some things to me that if I'd have missed it, I'd have missed it had it not eliminated the distractions. Had I not been consistent regardless of feelings, you're not going to go to the Mount of Transfiguration every day. Number five, a practical one. Focus on a passage, parable, story, or person. You know, you can get dried up just, you know, let's just be honest. You know, you read, and well, where should I read today? And I have people say, where would you suggest you read? Sometimes it's good to study a person. Pick Daniel and say, this week I'm going to write down the characteristics of Daniel. And then when I pray, I'm going to ask God to give me those. What were the characteristics of Paul? What was Joseph was something else. The ability that man had to forgive was unbelievable. Esther, that's one of my favorite books of the Bible, Esther. Queen Esther, incredible person. Incredible person. Focus on a passage. Don't think, man, I got a report in that I read 20 chapters. Just have one verse that you chew on for a while. Focus on a passage, a parable, a story, or a person. Step out on what God says to you. Because when you spend that time with jealous God and show him that he's first, he will say some things to you as you go along. Every day won't be Mount Transfiguration, but he will say some things to you. Step out on that. And then this is a real practical one, but I found this to be helpful. Give yourself variety. We're human. We're creatures of habit. You can get burnt out on things. If you're having trouble praying, write your prayer. Tomorrow morning, get up. Say, man, I just haven't been kind of dry in the praying. Write your prayer. Write a love letter to the Lord and write it. Sometimes when I'm really overwhelmed, I'll do that. I'll write the prayer. And I won't write it paragraph form. I'll just write the statements. I'll write your name. I'm overwhelmed that day and I'm having trouble organizing my thoughts. Yeah. I'll write. Bob Hilbert Dash. Lord, you know what I'm saying. You know what I prayed for Bob yesterday. Ben and Ashley Shropshire. Church board. George. Pat. Colleen. I'll write. God knows what you have need of before you ask. We don't need to give God volumes of information. He knows what we have need of before we ask. All right. Set a time, do it. Accountability, eliminate distractions. Be consistent regardless of feelings. Focus on a passage, parable, story, or person. Step out on what God says to you and give yourself variety. It's summer. We're American Christians. We're distracted easily. He is jealous for you. Don't neglect your time with God. And in that time with God, who would you lay on my heart, Lord? Who would you have me to bring next Sunday? God will begin saying things to you. Let's stand together for prayer. Thank you, Lord, on this Memorial Weekend for such a good group here today. Didn't know with all the season and all how that would affect the church. Thank you for so many that are here. Lord, this is the nuts and bolts of Christianity. I ask that you'd use this message in our lives. Keep us on track. May you be first in our lives. We want that, Lord. We want the pearl of great price. We commit these words to you and ask in Jesus' name that you would use them. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.